Imagine music being transmitted through the storm. Oh, we'll leave it there.
Yeah, okay, that's super cool. Thank you.
Let's go to world three.
Yes, okay, yeah, okay. Time to completely pivot. Let's see.
Completely brand new world.
Yes, okay. So, I think I did settle on what is different. Going with long distance communication requires energy that scales with distance.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the same amount of energy will get you any distance, no problem. So what is the same is going to be a statement, but it's going to manifest a little differently.
Can you tell us a little more about what is different first?
Okay, yeah, certainly. So whatever communication looks like, I have not decided on exactly that yet. That could mm-hmm. be what someone else could do that. Or maybe I'll talk myself into it as I go. But essentially, communication, whatever the input is for transmission across a centimeter, is the same at 1,000 kilometers. And so, you know, because energy is not a scaling requirement, massive distances become inconsequential from an energy standpoint. And so whatever the medium is may still limit the distance, although if we go with something wireless, it could honestly not. Like, potentially someone could send out a signal into space, and it's a little pulse that takes, you know, like 5 watts to start this thing going, and it's a pittance, it's nothing. And it just keeps going, and it will go. And the energy requirement for that, you don't need more to go further.
Thank you for indulging me. Now you may go on to your sames.
All good. So, same, I think the more is sent and the faster it moves, the faster it decays. I think this interfaces with, you know, the distance not requiring energy. One could potentially expedite the speed of transmission by putting more energy into it, but it will decay faster. The more that is sent, you know, whatever decay occurs, you know, if you send a bigger transmission, it will decay over space. The exact way that interfaces, I have not really come up with yet, but I kind of like this idea that, you know, you can move it faster, but it will decay, either fall apart in transmission or something about receiving it, just the, like, in moving it faster, it falls apart faster.
I like that, and I would like to hear more. I'm just grasping what you're, yeah.
Yeah, so the first part I'm not interfacing with a ton, though it has been declared as the same, so I should probably at least touch on that. The main thing I want to hit on is, you know, you can send something very slowly, and it will all, like, the amount of signal attenuation, if it's through the, like, whatever's going on or, you know, semantic decay, whatever's happening. If it goes slowly, very little happens to it. If it goes quickly, it can become lost in the noise. And perhaps maybe there are clever ways to offset that. People work on how to put, like, error checking codes into high-speed transmission, potentially, but there is an inherent lossiness to speed. And then I think, not a complicated corollary, if you are sending a huge packet of data, there is more for it to decay, and so there will be a greater amount in absolute terms, even if the proportional quantity is the same. You know, so, like, say traveling at a certain speed will have a 5% decay of information, which is not really a meaningful measure, but, like, for the sake of illustration, we'll pretend mm-hmm. that means something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're sending 1,000 words, 5% of that is a lot more than if you're sending 2, in which case it'll probably not even be detectable.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah, speed of transmission and the lossiness incurred therein is proportional to amount of information sent, and therefore the larger the message, the greater the danger of losing something in there, because there's more of it to become corrupted. So a simple message going not quickly is inconsequential in energy required, but something going really, really fast with a lot of information, there's going to be a lot of information loss.
It keeps its fidelity. Yeah.
Yeah, fidelity. Essentially. Fidelity is precisely the word for this. It's a short message at low speed has very high fidelity, and a large message at great speed has low fidelity. And there's a whole lot that can be extrapolated out from that, but that's beyond the scope of this. I was about to do it and realized, no, that's not what I'm talking about here. This is knock-on effects, and that's not what I'm doing here. Another thing I think that is the same, got a couple options that present themselves pretty readily. I'm going to say access to long-distance communication is easier than it has ever been. That's the same. We're at a very particular point in history in this world where however much access there has been, not only is it easier now, it's substantially easier now. Because this is, to some degree, the same as our world. Compare distance communication 200 years ago to 100 years ago to now, and it's orders of magnitude with each increment there. Everyone, or at least the vast majority of people, have access to some form of long-distance communication, which historically has not been true. And so that has created probably an information environment that is, you know, changing. Or at least has changed substantially. Maybe it's stabilized by now, but it is very distinct from what it was up until even the relatively recent past. Like, within a lifespan.
Okay.
Yeah, potentially stabilized, potentially not. You know, that's for details to add. The information landscape and the communication landscape now is very distinct from even the recent past.
What's it look like then?
Yeah.
Or sorry, do you feel like you've covered everything you wanted?
I think
I've covered
everything here. Yeah. What does it look like? This world is more developed than ours, but also I think it's not a dystopic development. You know, you have maybe some early spacefaring civilization. And so this is, you know, one of the places where there is now need for long distance communication across potentially really substantial distances, but relatively early in, yeah, like planetary scales of,
thank you,
of data transmission. Otherwise, like, I'm torn between making it very distinct from anything we know and making it very similar to things we know with a few changes. Without getting into the societal elements, it looks not dissimilar to ours, but greener, cleaner, and, you know, if there are societal problems, environmental devastation isn't one of them. That's a pretty good picture there, Claire.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, same deal. I'm gonna find some images. You tell me what is and isn't, or just delete things.
Yeah, I mean, those two so far are, I think, a pretty good sense of the vibe. I think not everyone lives in, you know, major urbanized environments, especially with, you know, the ease of communication across distances. There might be less need to consolidate quite as much, though, you know, other forces are still at play. But yeah, like very, like we have a couple pictures of very urban environments, but there's a lot more green spaces scattered through them. And I think that is probably what cities do look like.
I also wrote down, which I think was implied with what you're saying, that there are urban environments as well as rural communities and, you know.
Yeah. There are different urban environments. There are rural communities, maybe either a greater number or like there is perhaps somewhat less centralization. So the urban-rural dichotomy is not as stark. So there
and this
are
is because
big
of the communication,
cities.
Like you're saying.
I mean, it can be or it can not be. Okay. I kind of like the idea of, you know, there isn't quite the same stark distinction of how people conceptualize and talk about urban versus rural. You know, there will be a more of a gradient. I think there is a gradient. Obviously, there are massive cities in our world. There are smaller cities. There are large towns. There are small towns. There are rural communities. Like, we have a gradient, but there is, whether it's true or false, we have a very strong concept in how we talk about cities versus rural communities. And I would like to deconstruct that conceptual barrier, whether or not it's real. Yeah, I think there are probably some really sprawling areas that are like very integrated, like semi-urban, not suburban, but like semi-urban environments that are very much connected to the greenery. Like, I like the way that the green spaces, especially in that second image, are really incorporated into a really, really urban environment. And I like in the fourth one the way how that we have kind of structures with greenery and even water on and around them. I think those are both really neat.
Sounds like we have a good starting place. So, between Lou Rally and I, anyone want to kick off the other players?
I nominate you.
Me.
You heard me.
Okay.
It's true, you haven't gone first yet.
True. All right, I was looking at one. So I think what is different is long distance communication is not interceptable, or like, you know, it is interceptable is our statement. And I think there is something about the energy, you know, that it's like, it almost seems like it. And what did you say? Like, the more that is sent, the faster it moves, the faster it decays. I think there is something about like, it's less about the amount of energy that is into it in terms of like, I don't know, you could blow out a message by putting too much energy in our world, maybe. Like you can distort it with noise and whatnot. I think there is something about the fact that in this world, it is the same energy no matter what, that there's almost like you can't create or destroy mass is like an idea in our world. Mm-hmm. So in this world, it's almost like, oh, well, you can't create or destroy the message once it is created. It still decays. And I want to make sure it meshes with this one. Does decay change? Was that something you said, Cam?
I was saying that, you know, it decays at a greater rate when going at greater speed with more energy. So energy is to speed, and speed is to decay. And so to a degree, more energy means more decay, but more as a... like, probably also more energy is needed for a greater amount. And so if you use more energy to send more at the same speed, it will not decay at a faster rate. It'll just be like the same rate it is.
Mm-hmm.
Energy does scale with decay, whether it's volume or speed. Speed increases the proportion and volume increases the absolute amount because the proportion stays the same.
All right. I think, however, communication is done, I think there is an uninterceptibility where it's like, I know I'm talking to this person and this person alone, or these two people alone. It is almost like communication is inherently encrypted in terms of long distance communication. Like all communication is peer to peer, or however in this world security is done. But I do think that is the key thing, is like there's always a trust in what you're communicating. You never have to worry about who is or isn't hearing what is being said.
Yeah.
This could almost even go as far as if you have a speakerphone, maybe that's not exactly what is being used. But for example, even if there's communication that's like out loud or some way, I think even then, think only the intended recipient can like maybe understand it or even hear it. So I think that's what I'm going to go with.
So, okay.
Yeah, take a minute for that. I think I think you got there in the end, Claire, with your what you're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is this true of all communication, or just like long distance communication?
Long distance communication.
Cool.
All right.
So something about encoding it into long distance makes it, you know, like perfectly encrypted and only decryptable by the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I dig it. That's very cool.
Rally, I think you should go next.
Curses, Lou. Curses!
Uno reverse.
Mm. Well, all right. Let's give it some thoughts. Let's put it in the old mental blender and roll it around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what blenders do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Communication connects two or more points, but literal points in an ever-expanding universe become coordinates that are relativistic. Therefore, rather than it being, my brain thinks of it in terms of if you were to travel back in time, you would need to know the position of the Earth, not just the position in terms of like date. You would need to know the overall coordinates of the planet to not wind up in space. With that same level of consideration, there is a deliberateness to knowing how you connect those two points. It's not a... I mean, maybe that's active process in and of itself. I do like that you have to calculate where you're transceiving and like the trajectory of it. So there's a level of deliberateness. But I don't know if that conflicts with...
Keep talking. I think you're going... I feel like you're going somewhere.
To hell in a ham basket. A basket full of ham.
Keep going.
I think that actually does work well within the context of needing to have like coordinates for where you're communicating to. I think that also ties into like the nature of communication, right? We've been talking a lot in terms of like audio communication, but like all communication is just data being sent between two points, two or more points. And the idea of preserving fidelity by traveling slower, like if you miss target, yeah, it's going to keep going. It can be intercepted by something in the direction or in the position that it's being sent to.
But kind it's of like, not interceptable here.
Oh, it's not interceptable. Oh.
Yeah, something that's different is interceptability. So Claire said that essentially communication is non-interceptable.
That's right. Okay. Yes. Then, yeah, I think part of the reason it's not interceptable is because it takes that deliberate planning around how it's being transmitted and where it's arriving at. So the send and the receive are intentionally authored and perhaps require deliberate hardware or deliberate like process to establish that connection. My brain thinks of it in terms of like a wormhole. Yeah. So if you establish a wormhole between two points, then you can pass things through it, but you have to have those points be determined within like three-dimensional space.
If I'm understanding correctly, may I
yes.
attempt a rephrasing?
Please do. Brain.
So
brain is due brain.
Instead of sending a message in a direction, you send it to a destination. And it only really comes together at that point.
Yes, precisely. And it is a destination as defined by vectors, not just by point to point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is this same or different? I just want to...
Same, but different.
Yeah. It's both.
So same.
Because communication connects two points, but it's different in the way that same. It's connecting those points. So I would say it's same.
Okay. I'm putting same because you're kind of using the statement to be like, yes, it does do that, but...
I feel like it's different because of like how it connects to or more points. But anyway, like the specifics, we know what is being said. So whether it's the same or different is semantics.
Do you feel like what is being written captures what you're saying, Rally?
Yeah, I just added. So wormhole vibes, point to point bridge, where only the start and end matter because the bridge is a literal overlap and not a tunnel. So it's kind of like more like portals, I guess.
not necessarily push back, but like when talking about portals, it implies a certain instantaneousness, which is contradictory to what's been said.
Yeah.
So like I get what you're saying, but I think that that particular analogy has some incorrect implications.
I think you've caught something very important, and yeah, I'm going to delete portal.
I mean, you know, like secret tunnel, you know,
yeah.
there's still a tunnel, you know.
Yeah, it's got to travel across this distance, but it connects two points in space or more potentially, but it is from source to destination. Yeah, yeah. If I'm understanding correctly. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think I agree with both of you, and I think we can. I think it works that like the original thing of that it can't like energy changes the speed can vibe with this with a little massaging of just like you know
that was why I needed to push back against the specific portal thing, but everything else was good.
Yeah, my brain was thinking in terms of like point to point.
Thinking with portals.
Mm-hmm. Which is the problem, because that doesn't work in
or less on. About kind of like it's making me think of like when people talk about like faster than the speed of light travel, when they're saying like instead of actually traveling the distance, you're like folding the universe and creating like two points or something, but like instead it's like
that's
is this your detail?
Thank you, Claire.
Or wait, sorry.
Or something is different.
I think, that's just what I was thinking of when you were talking about relativity, but yes, I'm done talking on that point.
If you're looking at, like, space and you send something from Earth in a straight line, it will either intersect with something or it will not, depending on the continuous movement of everything relative to Earth. So it's like local time.
We can launch something off into space and it will go until it hits something or it attenuates completely. And in this, that's not how it works. You have a destination and it goes there and it stops there.
Mm, thank you. That's like, that is what I needed. Good soup. Okay.
I don't want soup. Lou, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
You're in the hot pot now.
Yeah, I'm really in the soup now.
I do enjoy, Riley, how you ended up saying something that was simultaneously kind of something is the same, kind of something is different, and kind of adding a detail.
That's what I do.
It's perfect.
Here are three options, and you just said yes.
Okay, I'm going to add a detail to the original different statement of how long-distance communication requires energy that scales with distance. So, yes. And my detail to that would be that the energy can be sourced from like traditional ways of electricity, like creating electricity, like turbines, combustion generators, things like that. But in addition, I want to integrate the idea that these cities and people are so a little more in tune with the natural world that somehow the energy of plants are included in powering transmission in some way.
Okay. Tell me more.
Plant energy.
Please tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that's coming to my mind is literally just like a little, like a potato with like a copper coin in it and stuff, like a penny and a wire. But there's like more to it than that. I'm feeling like...
May I not, like offer about this, but like an interesting like thing about plant energy that might be relevant here?
Yes, I am really looking for a little help here, even though that's not part of the game.
It makes me think about how plants are, at least last I heard, there may be more information because this is from like 6 or 7 years ago, but the like photosynthesis and the plant's production of energy is vastly more efficient than like traditional means of energy production that we understand, and there seems to be some sort of quantum mechanical interaction to produce highly efficient energy.
That is exactly what I was thinking, because I was like, this is kind of silly if there's other power available that would be more efficient, but knowing that and also it being kind of within the realm of possibility, because I do want to keep this kind of grounded, a little bit grounded too, like there's something that they put into, say, the, like, let's say these trees are really big and people live around them, perhaps in them in certain places. Maybe the tree is, there's something put into the tree, which is then the establishment of, this is kind of like in D&D, you know how there's a spell called Tree Stride, and like, you can travel anywhere if you put, if you know two trees.
Yeah.
And like, they become like two coordinates. I've never heard of this,
but this sounds great.
It's like a druid spell. It's a great, it's actually a great spell, but
it's so flavorful.
Yeah. You're just like, okay, well, here's a tree and I know this other tree, so we're going to travel through.
Jump between 500 miles with one step.
Yeah. And again, but not to say that this is portals, because it's not, but the trees are inherent to the transmission and receiving, either as just a power source or as like the actual kind of housing for the device, which is why people are so integrated. So it's like everyone has to have a tree or some, maybe a plant or something, in order to do this long distance communication.
I already have a detail to add.
I'm so glad. I thank you so much for taking down my notes. That I honestly, I couldn't ask for more.
I didn't want to distract you, but I did want to capture some of the key things.
Here we have plant energy.
You can fill in
tree, pet tree. Yes, yes. We live with tree. Tree is a source of energy. I think the reason I came up with this, it's not really part of the what I want to integrate, but just thinking like, you know, trees communicate to each other through their roots, etc. And I just like having them. Not that people need a reason to save trees, but maybe some people need a reason to keep trees around. And this is a little
kind
of a push to
having like a metaspatial communication network through trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be that. Like it, so that was kind of a stretch of my idea of like maybe the trees actually transmit the thing, but they could just be the source of energy to transfer the message, and so people rely on them that way. And because trees are so accessible, I don't think this challenge is the other thing, that access to long distance communication is easier than it ever has been. It's super easy here because, one, you need a tree, and two, maybe it's just like a little like a thing you insert into a tree or mount onto a tree or something. Do like a, you know, you put it in, you do a little dance or something, and then you're like, bam, we've connected the points or something. Or this is now a point, a fixed point in space. This tree isn't going anywhere. Maybe that's another thing. Like you can't just have like a tree in a pot. For some reason that doesn't work. The tree has to be in the earth in order to be part of a long distance communication device.
Can you review what Rally is writing? And
sorry, last thing. But I realized people have to communicate in space, but there's no trees in space. In space, you can't have trees.
No one can tree.
Yeah,
can.
I have an answer.
Okay, thank
to
you.
That. It might be slightly like it might slightly contradict that last detail, so we can navigate that
can
when
change
I
that.
Say
yeah,
it, we
yeah,
can
yeah.
figure it out.
Because that was a stretch goal. That was okay.
I have a detail.
Yep.
So finish your thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I see what you're putting down. I love it. I do not want to contradict you. I don't want to cut you off. So please continue.
Let me read what I've written, or what someone has written for me, and then I will distill it a little more, and then I'll be done. So plants are directly evolved in the act of communication. They are integral to the overall process. Thank you. Though perhaps not just the medium, maybe the energy source. I am noodling. Access to communication is easy because all you need is a tree and a little something to connect it to. By raising the tree, you connect it to the internet style web of communication. It's like a node. Yeah, I'm going to delete the raising the tree part, because it's like you can just find any old tree. You could just go move into a tree, next to a tree. By tree, you connect it to the internet. Looking at...
By tree and by God.
Up a device to tree, you connect it to the internet style of web communication. It's like a node, yes.
And you're saying trees can be any size? Or is there like a requirement for size?
No, not anything I'm... Yeah.
Okay, I'm asking because they said you could get into a tree. And that was like... Wait.
Oh yeah, that scale. Was just, again.
But I don't know.
I'm like spinning out. I'm like, oh, but I love the idea of tree houses, people living in trees. So that's just me inserting.
I welcome it. It's great.
It's like landlines, except not at all.
Yeah.
I love it.
I am done.
Awesome. So for my detail, I want to seek clarity. Would it be contradicting you if instead of it being any old tree, it is like there is a set of trees, a species or a subspecies or even like some singular original tree, and the breakthrough in communication was cuttings of the tree form their own trees really, really effectively and retain this connection? And so that is like, would that be contradicting what you're saying?
No, it would not.
Okay.
And no, actually, I'll leave it at that. Yeah, I don't need to overcomplicate it. I think that's not contradictory, and I like your detail, and I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking there is, you know, there like this breakthrough in communication across distance, which ties into the connecting of points, which ties to the uninterceptibility, was this realization that this tree is able to still have connections to sections of it that are dislocated through space. So it is the source of the connection and probably like the foundation of like the basic speed, but you can pump more power into it to speed it up. And so long as you have a living cutting of this tree that is actually like not just like you can't just take a branch, right? It has to have established some sort of root structure, some sort of means of deriving nutrition. But once it is established and living, it has this connection strong enough that it can be connected and can communicate. And each piece has sort of a unique identification as to where it is in this network. Like what, if it came from the original tree, if it came from a separate established cutting, you know, where in this line of the tree or trees it is, gives it this unique identifiability that allows for this direct point-to-point transmission. And through the amount of power one puts into it, like there is a natural amount of power that the trees can communicate at, and we can supercharge it with external power that we can put into the tree.
That's great.
And that's how we get communication through space, because it has to be a living tree, and it has to have established. So I'm a little contradicting when you said it has to be in the earth.
That's needed, though. Yeah.
But I think, like, if you're okay with it, I was thinking having this, like, it needs to be established is at least close to what you were saying. Is that okay?
Yes, because I was contradicting something earlier, so you're helping me get over that previous contradiction. And
I'm trying to navigate these things because I like this requirement of you can't just like have a chunk of tree and go into space and boom, no problem. Like you need to have an established sapling in order to communicate. And so even perhaps the size of the tree can make it so that you can use less energy to communicate more with less decay. So another, like there will still be that decay, but the size and establishment of the tree is also a factor in the fidelity, which will get us to like these big, big trees and like people living in trees, because that minimizes their energy use. But if you know you're doing some small satellite something, if you don't need a ton of information being sent, then you can use a small tree because you don't need a ton. But if you're spending all day every day communicating, you want to be in a big tree to be efficient and not be burning through a bunch of energy for like day-to-day internet use, right?
Terrific.
And then people get this sort of, they may have a big tree in their house or in their yard, or if they're really set up, they might live in one of the big trees. There might be, like apartment complexes are massive trees with dozens or hundreds of people living in them. Because it's so big, it can handle the bandwidth of dozens or hundreds of people.
I want to make sure this doesn't contradict something Riley said earlier.
Yeah. With,
not this specifically, but just thinking of the two points connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Riley, do you have a thought on this? You feel like this doesn't contradict?
Am I contradicting anything?
No.
If so, I will change it. Nope.
Because they're physical plants, right? Ergo, they are physical objects. Ergo, there is a one and a two. So no.
Okay, cool.
I think that's fine.
Awesome.
Excellent.
I'm using ergo too much, and it's pretentious. No, there's two plans.
I'm talking about signal attenuation, Rally. Like, you're so good.
I promise I'm stupid.
No, you aren't, and that's okay. You should not feel
Lou,
the need
like
to present
you posted
stupid.
In the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Panda. I didn't want to interrupt.
The super organism.
I posted a link.
Yeah. Yes.
I posted a link to, I was thinking, like, some forests are all one tree. Or genetically identical, and it's not necessary that our species has to be, but it's just, I like that.
Yeah, I was, that's sort of what I was pulling from when I was thinking about it. I was going, like I said earlier, like a metaspatial connection.
Yep.
So they are all connected, like how you have these forests that are one organism. You have these trees that are all kind of on some level one tree. Even if they are distinct physical trees, there is this connectedness that can be used for communication.
Sweet.
One of the things that had come to mind was like the dual metaphor of, and I guess this is me adding detail, which I don't necessarily want to, but I do want to call out the dual metaphor of a root system versus like a more ethereal like internet web. So we're straddling the line between both, but I don't want to go next. I want someone else to go next. Get rooted, dude, it says Claire.
Rootin' tootin' and by God be shootin'. All right.
Yeah. I nominate Lou.
Ah.
or someone could go if they want to. We did put Lou on the spot before.
Lou. Yeah, or someone else.
Riley, how about you go next since you're so quick to point fingers?
I'll go next.
Yay.
Hey, we have a volunteer.
Put out Claire.
Yay.
All right.
It's Claire. It's Claire. It's Claire. Go for it.
So, you know how messages are both uninterceptible and they, like, it's the same energy for any distance. You say things decay with speed and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is it contradicting anything to say that they don't decay with time? Has that been established? Am I contradicting anything?
Speed is time. Well,
speed is time.
I'll let Cam talk. I don't know.
Let me think. Like as time passes, it does not decay. But that's more data storage than communication.
Yeah. I guess this idea was back when Rally was setting up the two or more points. I don't know if it works anymore. So yeah, maybe I can change my idea.
I mean, my thought is from what I'm hearing is it almost sounds like that's already implicit. Since if it takes a long time with a low speed and it does not decay, then like the time would not be a factor in the decay, since the slower speed is actually better for decay.
So that doesn't contradict?
It feels almost already present.
Great,
but,
perfect. Okay, then
data storage, that's different.
No, this isn't even my point. I just wanted to make sure that if I was implying that...
Yeah, I feel like that it doesn't decay over time if it's just like in transit for longer. That feels like it's already present. Mm-hmm. Like not only not contradictory, to say otherwise would almost contradict.
Great. Wait, so it would,
it's fine.
Okay,
let me just say my idea, then that might be a problem.
Okay, so my idea is that when we return to the same relativistic point in terms of, you know, planet moves, because communication is like point based, where it matters where the communication is. If we ever return to that point, the communication then happens again. However, it maintains its encryption. And so suddenly, if you have an orbital rotation, and you know, we're only going to think about the orbital rotation within a solar system and not within like a galaxy or anything. If we're thinking of the orbital rotation in a system, then messages that were there last time are now there again. However, who can hear them, right? Because they're encrypted. Does that contradict anything?
Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm just being negative, in which case people stop me. It does feel like with the points being instanced as the trees, it's not like it's hanging out in space because it goes to its point, which is its destination in the tree, and that's where it was.
Unless like the tree retains the message and then...
And so it's activated when it's at the right position, but it still...
So what I'm hearing is it doesn't contradict?
I don't think so. Can you keep...
It might not.
Can you either just say what you said again or like just keep talking more? Because I'm... Yeah, I want to hear more and...
Yeah, what I'm thinking is that when you're sending a message, right, there's like an intended place. And so when you send the message, there's an intended place. However, Rally set up that it's like this intended place has a specific sort of wormhole like connection of like an exact location. And what I'm saying is that this connection can be reestablished unintentionally later on, and that the message is like re-delivered, but due to the encryption, it kind of just sounds like either noise or nonsense to whoever is listening, unless, you know, the same person was there at that time.
Did you have like, are you imagining like a scene or something in which this happens, or kind of an, like, maybe that's too meta gamey to imagine what might be the consequences of this, but I think it would help me kind of root some understanding in it too, if you did have a situation in which this might happen or something.
In this world?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to like jump ahead or anything.
Yeah,
but
that's what I don't
want to
do either.
Let's say in our world, right? It's because this is like our world. Like, I send you a message on the new year to your tree that you're at. And every single year at New Year, you get the same message there. However, I assume there's probably other messages that happen at once. And I do think like it doesn't end up turning into noise in some way. But if, let's say, someone else moved there, they would still get this message, but it would just be like either background noise or nonsense where they're still getting this message. It's just that because of the encryption, they're not getting the message. It's still there.
I think I have an analogy of sorts, or like a way to describe it. If this is how I'm conceptualizing it, tell me if I'm right. When a message is sent in this world, like it goes from point A to point B through this connection between trees. And then when it arrives there, it stays in that exact spatial location even as the tree moves, and it stays there eternally.
So you'd have to bring the tree back to the same position for your to be able to hear that message again. Yes, is that what's being said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just broke Einsteinian mechanics.
Probably.
I just had
fuck Einstein.
That worked. I have like such a nice kind of maybe a
check the tree
detail.
Mail when you park your houseboat near the same post office.
The analogy that this was just me thinking, like, is this what you're trying to say? So like, sorry, the branch is closed. Leave a tree mail. But like, when you get home and your device reconnects to your home Wi-Fi because it's like connected to the same IP address, you load those messages. So it's akin to the analogy, right? Like, bring the tree to the same point to hear a past message again.
So you just receive it infinitely many times as long. So if you just were able to sit in the same place,
you could then tune
you would
it.
Receive it eternally.
Yeah, I guess so. If you could make the world stop spinning,
or if
and
you left the world
immediately
and just
have disaster happen, then yeah, sure, why not?
But also, if you just,
I mean, that's not the world I'm with you.
Like, went to a place in space where there was no motion,
but you need
which,
the tree,
which is, yeah, you can bring a tree, but this is where I struggle with, like, this sounds like,
tell me you brought
kind of
the tree, Cam,
always. This sounds like some kind of like Newtonian notion of absolute positions in space. Mm-hmm.
Yes, except I'm specifically saying orbital because relativism, I don't know how much like science stuff we need to go into, but I don't think I care past system.
Yeah, but so what I'm getting at is like if one were to go outside of the gravitational effect of stars enough that one could stay in absolute position indefinitely, and someone sent a message to that place, it would not only receive it once, it would never stop receiving it. And what does that look like?
I don't know. I guess you can add on. Lure Rally can add on to what that means.
I feel like we've invented perpetual motion.
Yes.
Great.
And I will say, like,
I think
simply
entropy.
All you have to do is don't move relativistically.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if you think about
okay,
it.
But your use of relativistically is, like, relative to what?
So, expansion is just another vector, yeah? So whether or not you're talking about, like, locale in terms of, like, four-dimensional space or three-dimensional space, you're really just tracking another vector. So if you were to be in something that would continuously stay in one position relative to the rest of the universe, you could anchor it there. It just has to be moving against the universe at a consistent rate.
So it's not, but it's not a relative position. It's not relativistic. It's absolute.
I think I need us to move on. This is getting really abstract.
I'm so confused, but it's great.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I have a way of understanding the universe, and yeah, this goes contrary to it in a way that's really hard for me to wrap my head around, which is why I'm asking all these really specific questions.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is what I said.
Yeah. You said it. You said it.
All I'm saying.
Sometimes the world is a mystery. Yeah.
And absolute position is a term. Like, it's we're messing with language rather than, like, the concepts themselves.
I'm messing with the concept.
No, I know, I know. It's just the terms that we've been using are linguistically
so Lou or Rally, who's going next?
I can, or you can, or Lou can. I can, or Lou can.
I'm kind of stewing. I'm a stewing, so you can go.
Okay, so your receivers are, I guess I'm adding a detail.
It's all adding detail. Yeah. There's no same or different anymore.
I'll learn
detail.
Eventually, she says, knowing full well she will never learn.
That's okay. There's only one more.
Yeah. So similar to like an astrolabe, you carry a receiver that allows you to interpret things from the tree, because we're talking about like plugging something into a tree, which allows you to use it. I kind of love the idea of like what format does this communication take? And what if it's music? What if it is music that you plug your astrolabe into the tree and it plays the music that was sending the message? And then, like, you can interpret that, which is very abstracted, but I kind of like the raw format of data is encoded as like music, which is a step beyond what's necessary. But I think of it in terms of like, it's not all ones and zeros. It's like notes across a scale. Does that make any sense to anyone? Or is that?
I think so,
but
keep
I'd still
going.
Like you to say more.
Yeah. So when you connect to the tree, you are tuning your astrolabe to pick up the music of the message. So you're making sure that you're in the right key, twisting the knobs and adjusting like all the attenuation, and then the music becomes intelligible as a message and not just like, yeah, it's almost
does,
like
does this
sorry
does this not contradict non-interceptability? If someone else could tune to the right frequency, it's then interceptable.
I mean, I think
I think
yes, go 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 go, 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 go. So I think you're getting.
I'm just saying, what I'm hearing is that to anyone who hasn't unencrypted the thing, it's just beautiful music, or just music. It could be ugly music. It could be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is a tuning process, but also something that is unique to the person receiving. So the uninterceptability of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes. I'm guessing, like you're saying, like plain language, like plain English or whatever language you're speaking in after you've quote unquote tuned in or done something else to verify yourself as the peer who is receiving.
Exactly. It's like an authentication key, like your unique signature that perhaps is biological is how you connect to the tree, which is the receiver. And so you've got the data from the receiver, and then your, like I said, NaturalLib, just because it has like those measured vectors, but it is what allows you to interpret the music into more than just music. So yeah, Lou, exactly. That's, yes.
Okay, what I just typed is everyone has a unique biological signature that can tune the music into an interpretable message.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of knowing someone's like public and private keys, you know their actual like the key of their like A flat is this person's key, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
cryptography is musical.
Mm.
Cryptography is musical.
Yeah, I think to mesh with the uninterceptibility, I think this says something about either the device or the people. I'm not too sure what.
I feel like the easiest thing to make it about would be the individual like tree like that is being used for communication for like the nodes.
I mean,
that's not an obligatory element.
I feel like maybe it's the people, and all the device is doing is reading your biological data and reading the tree's data. And allowing that to be like connected. So it is a cable. It is not doing more than that. And in that same way, like, I mean, it does open like the question of like interceptable because like someone's interfering with like the connection, or is it like only you can hear the words, even if other people are in the same room? Because then we've got questions around like, let's say you were kidnapped and someone was trying to like, use your biological signature, would they be able to hear it, or is it still just your brain?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So this is
what I set
precisely.
Up.
Yeah.
So can one communicate to more than one person at a time with this method?
Yep.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just I think maybe there's something in the way that it's authored intent wise that you're thinking of the person, and because you're thinking of them, how it's being encoded encodes them. Relative to you.
Tree to tree is point to point. Person to person is interceptibility and encryption.
Yes.
Mm.
Gotcha.
And it's all jazz, baby. It's all jazz. No, I'm joking. Sorry.
So then in that case, there is this sort of person to tree to person connection, this through line.
Yeah.
And so multiple people can use the same tree. And it doesn't necessarily impede because they have their own unique key for how they interface with it.
Yes.
And that's how the uninterceptibility works.
Exactly. So it's like payphones.
I'm getting
it. I love that it's just music otherwise.
And it's just music. And this is just a detail that has occurred to me. And, you know, people can ignore it if they like. But just the idea of, like, there becomes this sort of sub-game of making your communication sound fun or pretty or ugly or whatever to people who don't have the key.
I don't think that's
all
a
right,
big stretch.
All right,
Lou? Okay.
Sorry, Riley, are you, do
oh,
you
yeah,
feel
it's
like
not
everything
detail here,
you
it's
said
just,
has been
just
captured?
A corollary
that no,
I
no,
thought of.
That's precisely it, right? Because, like, to me, I think about the way that I understand written word or, like, phrasing and, like, intentionally use of lexicon as a means of creating art. So like that poetry background, right? But honestly, it's like the way that you're expressing yourself is as important as like the message itself, which we've talked about in the previous world. I just really love the idea of like, you sort of know the artist when you're hearing something.
Oh, so you can't necessarily get the message, but you're like, oh, this sounds like Riley sent it. This is definitely how they compose their messages.
Yes, or someone could intentionally try and sound different from themselves as a way of trying to say something about themselves too. It is an intentionality in the way that it's broadcasted. That was all.
Okay.
Cool.
For my detail, I want to go build upon the concept here that more that is sent, the faster it moves and the faster it decays. So in this world, if things are sent slower, there's less decay. So while for the most part, I'm assuming most people send much like they do today, a lot of messages quickly, but often those messages are short in order to preserve the meaning. I think there's also either an art form or just a very special thing in which people will send very long, maybe dictations or stories or expressions of themselves at very, very slow speeds, almost like a time capsule, but also just I don't know, when I think of it almost like, imagine or reading a story and sending it to one person and allowing it to slowly travel the distance until it makes it to them, and it only being for them or for a small amount of people, as kind of a very deep expression for the people that live here, like a deep expression of love or care or dedication or something. This could even be a religious dedication or something, or a dedication to another person. But there is an art form to the slowness, like snail mail, like sending a letter to somebody, much more, what's the word? I don't know quite the word, but that's my
going
detail.
Slowly is a deliberate choice sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Art. Yes. That is my one comment. Art, the art of slow messaging, but also long, long, long messages sent slowly.
Mm.
Almost to act as a time capsule. Much in the same way, you work on it's like working on a painting, you're capturing something at a specific time. And by sending it really slowly, it almost preserves it.
Yeah.
I fucking love this.
Yeah, offsetting the decay from volume by just going extra slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Trying to create, it's almost like, yeah, they're just trying to create something that will live as long as possible in its original form,
and in transit too, waiting to arrive.
It's like something that is so crystallized in the moment, but it's always moving. I find that really beautiful for some reason, and I really like that idea. Yeah,
I wrote you a song that lasts 1,000 years, but only you can hear what it means. Yeah,
yeah,
beautiful, truly, truly beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a name for this world if we feel like we're. Right.
I would very much like for Lou's thing to be fleshed out a bit more. Not in terms you necessarily stay anymore, but this is two sentences, one of which is only 6 words, and I
understand.
To capture
so write
what you're
out
saying.
Some more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lou, can you?
Because I don't want to lose
this. So the art of So the art of slow, long messages sent slowly, almost to act as a time capsule. People will spend long amounts of time composing messages or expressions of themselves, often to a person or a religious figure or deity, and send them at the slowest speed possible to both preserve its fidelity to the greatest degree. It is like a painting crystallizing a moment in time, yet in order to convey this expression or this art, it must always remain in motion. It is often considered an expression of deep love or care to commit such a long amount of time to both composing the transmission and knowing it will take a long time to reach the receiver.
I love that. And I don't know, especially really, with the...
Yeah, it really touched me.
With the unintercepability, there's also this sense of like, it. One day it will arrive, and until then it's just moving. Yeah. It can't be detected, it can't be intercepted, it can't be really perceived, it's just there.
There's this, I can't remember the movie now, I wish I did, but it's kind of some Mudland International film where it was like, you know, like you go up to a tree and you whisper your secrets into the tree. But in this way, it's like you're planting a seed, and then at some point it's going to, down the line, emerge. Anyways.
Depending on how long it takes, the recipient who could decode it may not even be around, and it'll just be a beautiful song arrives.
Ugh. Yes.
And so it's about the offering and not just the reception. Yes, precisely.
The message may never even be received, but something will make it there and it will be beautiful one day.
Oh, you just deleted the gift, and I fucking love the idea of it as a gift.
Yeah, you elevated that so much, Lou. That's gorgeous.
Thank you so much for fleshing that out. Yes.
I just think time is a beautiful thing you can give to somebody. And this is like, I'm trying to like, like, how do you give someone time? It's like that is it, you know? I don't know.
I mean, I think about like oral histories as a practice and the very idea of that becoming uninterpretable, but still being beautiful music is like, yeah, there's a lot of like really beautifully recorded oral histories that are encoded specifically as music that are for cultures around the world. Suffice to say, this as a concept does exist, and it is truly, absolutely, truly breathtaking. So, yes, love it.
I'm perfectly happy with my detail and happy to move on to naming the world.
Here is my suggestion.
Secrets within the singing tree.
Secrets within the singing trees.
Or even secrets of the singing trees. I think you've got essentially the thrust of it. Secret singing trees. These are the three very important words, and you absolutely got them.
Honestly, I like that. We're good.